ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter 3, Liberation from the Illusory Energy, Next 22.
Tatra Bhagavatam Dharman Shikshe Guvatma Daivata Amayaya Nuvrityaya Sushyat Atmatma Dohari.
Tatra. Then, in the association of the spiritual master.
Bhagavatam
Dharman.
The science of devotional service.
Shikshet.
Should learn.
Guru Atmadaivata,
he for whom the spiritual master
is his very life and worshipable deity.
Amayaya,
without deceit.
Anuritya,
by faithful service.
Yai,
by wish.
Devotional signs.
Tushyet
can be satisfied.
Atma,
the Supreme Soul.
Atmada,
who bestow his own self.
Hari,
Bhag Hari.
Translation. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worship of a deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of pure devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, the soul of all souls, is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. Therefore, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord be satisfied will offer himself to the faithful disciple. Purport. According to Sri Sridhar Swami, the Lord's tendency to give himself to his pure devotee is demonstrated in the case of Bali Maharaj, who sacrificed his universal kingdom for the pleasure of Lord Vamadeva. Lord Vamana was so pleased by the selfless surrender of Bali Maharaj that the Lord became the doorman in the palace of Bali, who was reinstalled as a great leader in the universe. Srila Jiva Goswami comments that the spiritual master is to be considered Atma, or the very life of the disciple, since real life begins when one is initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Although one may experience many seemingly wonderful or important events in the dream, one's real life begins when he wakes up. Similarly, since the spiritual master gives birth to the disciple by awakening him to spiritual life, a bona fide spiritual disciple understands that his spiritual master is the very basis of his life. According to Sri Jiva Goswami, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the reservoir for all pleasure, and thus the Lord's giving himself to a pure devotee indicates that such a devotee becomes immersed in the highest possible ecstasy. In this connection, there is the following Shruti mantra: Anandat Dimahi Bhutani Jayante. Indeed, it is from the all blissful Supreme that all these creatures have come into being. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has further pointed out that when the Lord bestows his own self upon a pure devotee, such a fortunate devotee can actually see the Lord, touch him, and directly engage in his service. According to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one should never consider one's spiritual master to be mundane or on an equal level with oneself. One should see the spiritual master as being always under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One should never try to engage the spiritual master in one's personal service with the mentality of lording it over the spiritual master and attaining through him some material gain. One who is actually advancing will become more and more eager to serve the spiritual master, and thus such a disciple experiences the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Rupa Goswami has delineated four preliminary requisites for advancement for the sincere disciple. Guru Padashrayastasmat Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam Vishrambena Guru Seva Sadhu Vatma Vatanam. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Number two, becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. Three, obeying the orders of the spiritual master and with faith and devotion. Four, following the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers, under the direction of the spiritual master. One who has executed these preliminary duties is qualified to relish Srimad-Bhagavatam. When one actually hears the sound vibration of Srimad-Bhagavatam as it is, he becomes free from the desire for sense gratification and mental speculation, and is happy and satisfied in the service of Lord Krishna. Yasyam vai sruyamanayam krishne parama puruse bhakti utpadyate pumsa shoka moha payapada. Simply by giving oral reception to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the feeling of loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion and fearfulness. One should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a bona fide spiritual master who can expertly engage the propensity for loving Krishna that arises from hearing the transcendental sound of the Bhagavatam. Such a transcendental authorized engagement is called Bhagavad Dharma. With an international society for Krishna consciousness, there are many thousands of authorized engagements pertaining to the society's missionary activities. And by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and performing such engagements, the society's members feel relief from shoka, lamentation, moha, delusion, and bhaya, fear. According to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, those who have achieved a mature understanding of the transcendental sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam may adopt the order of Tridandi Sannyas as described in the Hamsa Gita, the 13th chapter of this canto. A so-called Vaishnava who whimsically neglects the strict control of the body, mind and speech cannot actually achieve shelter at the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Even if such a whimsical sense enjoyer makes a show of assuming the dress and danda of Vaishnava sannyas, he will not attain the desired result, love for Krishna. A bona fide Vaishnava should work earnestly to free himself from any tinge of sense gratification and mental speculation, and with a loving heart, he should carry out the order of his bona fide spiritual master. By always remembering the exalted position of the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master, the disciple will achieve shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Satra Bhagavatam Dhamam Shikshek Guvatma Daivatam Ama Ya Yanu Ritya Yash Tushyat Atma Mado Hari. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master is one's life and soul, the worshipable deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of pure devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, the soul of all souls, is inclined to give himself to his pure devotees. Therefore, the disciple should learn from the spiritual master to serve the Lord without duplicity and in such a faithful and favorable way that the Supreme Lord, being satisfied, will offer himself to the faithful disciple. Om Gyanatimrandasya Kinanjana Salakya
Chakshumritam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinande. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pichayane Devi Sesa Sunyavadi Pasachade Shatayane. I'm going to be struggling, so. In describing the scripture, that Krishna is the possession of the pure devotee. In the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, some of the principles of pure devotional service is that by pure devotional service one can conquer Krishna. Krishna is Ajita, is unconquerable. But he becomes conquered by his devotee. His mother Mohan, he enchants even Cupid. The Radharani, the embodiment of Bhakti, is known as Mother Mohan Mohini, the enchanter of the enchanter of Cupid. So although Krishna is unconquerable, by his own sweet will, he becomes conquered by the full surrender of his devotees. This is the mysterious principles of pure devotional service that people who have no access to it cannot understand. Just like sometimes we preach, when we preach in India or to Indians, they are more favorable towards worshipping Ganesh and Shiva. Because they say when you worship Ganesh, Shiva, you get so much wealth. When you worship Krishna, Krishna is known as Hari, he takes away. But they do not understand that as Hari, when Krishna takes away, what is he taking away? He's taking away inauspiciousness in the life. He's taking away things that are entangling us in this material world, which is the cause of all suffering, which is the cause of all illusion, and which is the cause of all maya, fear, causing so much fear. In fact, people who accumulate wealth, people who accumulate wealth without going through a process of devotional service, they may have all this wealth, but they're living in great fear. They're living in illusion, and they're also always lamenting for more wealth because it's never enough, or lamenting for, or hankering for more wealth, or lamenting for what they lose. Like now with the world economic situation, probably you'll find people jumping off the roof and lose their millions and billions with just one day or 2 days of wipe out their wealth. So they're always living in fear. But on the other hand, devotees who accumulate their wealth through the process of surrendering to Krishna, they never attach. They know Krishna give, Krishna take. Whatever I have is actually possession of Krishna. It's the property of Krishna. I'm just the custodian of this wealth. And I'm just administrator. I'm just using it, this wealth in Krishna's service. So they do not live in fear because attachment is not there. Attachment brings fear, free of loss. So, by surrendering to Krishna, actually one gains everything. The example given here is Bali Maharaj. Although Shukracharya was stopping him, when Vamanadev came to the yajna to ask for charity, and
Bali Maharaj was going to give it to him. But Sukracharya was warning him, said, "Oh, be careful. This is Vishnu coming in the disguise of a dwarf Brahmana. He will take everything away from you." But Bali Maharaj thinking, "Well, if Vishnu wants to come and take away everything, let him take. What can I do anyway?" So Vamana then asked for 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj questioned him. He said, "It seems to me that you are not very learned and not very well informed. Do you know who I am?" "I'm Bali Maharaj, practically the Lord of the Universe." He was so powerful that he drove Indra and the demigods away from the heavenly planet. He took over the 3 planetary system. He has full control of it. And said, "This is who I am. Can you come to me asking for charity, just 3 sets of land? The dwarf Brahmana?" Huh? And the reply given by Vamana Dev is very instructive. He said, "If I'm not satisfied with 3 sets of land, I'm not going to be satisfied with the 3 words. So indicating that if you give me all the 3 words, I'm not going to be satisfied. That's one take of it. And the other, the lesson one can learn from it is that if one is not satisfied with what he has, it doesn't matter how much you get, you will never be satisfied. Because no matter how much you get, you're always hankering for more and more and more and more. So sure enough, Vamana Dev with 2 steps. One step he covered the 3 planetary system. With the second step he broke through the covering of the universe. He said, "Now you promise me 3 steps. With 2 steps I've taken everything that is in your possession. Now you have to fulfill your promise. Where should I put my 3rd step? Of course, the one who is giving the charity is not included in the charity. So he said, "Now, okay, I put my head, full surrender." So Bali Maharaj is known, there are 9 processes of devotional service, and there are different devotees who know they have achieved perfection by performing even one of them. And Bali Maharaj is known to have attained perfection by surrendering everything. Atman Nivedana. Surrendering everything to Krishna. But having surrendered everything to Krishna, Krishna gave back everything and more. He became the leader of the universe, and Krishna, Vamana Dev agreed to be the doorkeeper to the kingdom of Bali Maharaj. So much so that once Ramana came to see Bali Maharaj, "So you want to see Bala Maharaj, you have to go through me." And Ramana was so powerful, he was proud of his strength. He said, if you can lift my toe, you can go past me." So of course, he could not lift up the toe of Vamana Dev. And Ramana started thinking, if the doorkeeper is so powerful, how much more powerful must be Bali Maharaj? So by the time he came in front of Bali Maharaj, he was very humbled. He was not at all arrogant. So you see examples of this, and so many examples throughout the Shastra, that one who is so-called deprived of possessions, they have the greatest possession, which is Krishna. They possess Krishna. Krishna is in the possession of his pure devotees. And therefore, only the pure devotees can give Krishna to others. If you are not in the possession of something, you can't give away. Only if something is in your possession, you can give away. That's why you cannot give Krishna consciousness away unless you are Krishna conscious yourself. And this show was very nicely shown by Prabhupada in an example. Once, in the early days when Prabhupada and some of his disciples were traveling preaching in India, there was this his secretary, Shamasunda, and Malati Mataji. They had a daughter, the first child born in Krishna Conscious Movement, Saraswati, right? Saraswati. She must be in her 30s now, probably close to 40 years old now. She was a child. One day, one of the wife member or whatever gave her a silver murti of Krishna, and she became very attached to this murti. And Prabhupada was thinking, what is child doing with a silver murti? So she took it. He took the murti, and when Saraswati was looking for the murti, she could not find Krishna. And she became very desperate. Where is Krishna? And Prabhupada was playing with her. Said, Saraswati, where is Krishna? She looked around, she could not find. Prabhupada said, where is Krishna? And she got more and more desperate and anxiety. And she started looking everywhere. The devotees, they caught on to the Prabhupada's plane. So they keep asking, so Saraswati, where is Krishna? And as they keep on asking, she was getting more and more in anxiety and desperate, looking, Krishna, Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? And then finally the devotee said, who has Krishna? Yeah, where is Krishna? Who has Krishna? And after a while, the dawn of Saraswati, Prabhupada has Krishna. So in this way, by this simple example, Prabhupada was indicating how actually, yes, you'll be looking for Krishna, but you have to know where to look for. And Prabhupada is Krishna. And Prabhupada can give Krishna to us. So this is what means surrendering to the spiritual master. By surrendering the spiritual master, the spiritual master can deliver Krishna to us, or deliver us to Krishna. As it's quoted in the purport here, quote from Rupa Goswami from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar Devotion. There are four preliminary requisite advancement for the sincere disciple. One, first of all, is that one accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. And that's what we do in our Eastern movement. So if we come, start the process of devotional service, first you have to search out a spiritual master, take shelter. And after a period of time of taking shelter and doing your due diligence and checking, that yes, this person can deliver me to Krishna, deliver Krishna to me. One, take initiation. That's the second step. Taking is not the aim of the process, taking initiation. That's just the second step. So one, take initiation from spiritual master and learn from him how to discharge devotional service by following the instruction and taking guidance. So one follow the process of devotional service. And as it progresses, the third step is obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. Now this is a very important point. Obeying the orders. As we stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that one should approach the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto us because he has seen the truth. Tapidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadashina. So there's no question of following without obeying. One of the qualities that was described about Narada Muni when he was the son of a maid servant serving the Bhakti Vedantas was that He was disciplined, self-control, obedient. In fact, these are some of the qualities, especially in Asian culture, that they're raising children, that teach them to be obedient, isn't it? Because without being obedient, it's very difficult to train. Is that very difficult to train someone who is not obedient? Obedient means to obey. In any organization where they require a certain amount of the higher the demand of skill and talent required, the more is required obedience. Just like in an army, the main thing they train you is to obey. To obey the authorities. To obey, because when it's time of war, they do not have the luxury to start questioning every instruction that's been given. No, they just automatically just obey. And everything runs with military precision. So to be obedient is a very important quality of a disciple. And also disciple comes from a discipline. One has to have discipline. Discipline of the control of the senses, control of the mind, and to discipline oneself to obey and follow the instructions and order of the spiritual master. Because what is the initial reason we took shelter and initiation from the spiritual master in the first place? Because we see this, first of all, it's a necessity, as Krishna said in the Shastra, that it's not a luxury. It is a must. One must accept a spiritual master. And the other thing is that we have developed sufficient faith in that particular devotee, that if I surrender to him, he will bring me back home back to Godhead. So one has to build on that initial faith by following. And the more one follow and obey the instruction of the spiritual master and thus advance in Krishna consciousness, the more one's faith develops. There's no other way around that. You cannot develop faith just by some forcing yourself through some mentors kind of endeavor or anything like that. You have to just go through the process. Faith is the development of faith is a process. The more you follow the instruction, and the more we see how we are advancing in Krishna consciousness by following those instructions, the more our faith develops naturally. And the more our attachment to the spiritual master also develops, the relationship also becomes stronger. The relationship with the spiritual master is through following the instruction and through service. It's not like a buddy-buddy kind of relationship. It may be friendly on one level, but it's always, spiritual master is always the master. That's why it means spiritual master. The word implies that. So there has to be obedience with faith, of carrying out the instruction with faith. And that is sometimes, and you'll find in the course of our spiritual life, time, when we will have, I relate it to the same thing that in the mundane world, children growing up, when the children are young, they tend to be more obedient. Anything the parents say, they do. Then as they get older, they are not old enough, but they think themselves old enough. Like this once,
There's one song by one pop princess. It goes something like, I'm a girl but not yet a woman, or I'm a woman, something like that. So, especially when they're teenagers, they are not grown up, right? They say they think they're grown up. You know what I mean? So we'll find ourselves coming to a stage sometimes that we think, I can figure out everything. I already know how to put on the tilak. I know how to put on my dhoti nicely. I can put on my dhoti in different ways, different style. I put on my saris also different style. I know shlokas. I can remember all the temple songs. I can do this, do that. So many things. I'm such a skilled devotee. And it's not only me thinking that. Others are also telling me that. I'm very skillful, talented, advanced devotee. Now I can start questioning. I can start questioning what my spiritual master says. And that's when problem arises. That's when problem arises. Now of course, as we mature in devotional service, the spiritual master do give us more leeway. He will give us more leeway on and give us more options as we mature. I always tell my children, freedom comes with responsibility. It's not that you want freedom but not being responsible. The more freedom you have, the more responsibility you're carrying. So one has to be able to handle that responsibility and handle that freedom. So a spiritual master may give more leeway. Now, having said that, one should be obedient and surrender to the instruction of the spiritual master, faith, devotion, doesn't mean you shut off your brain and become like a zombie or become like a dysfunctional person. Sometimes we take things literally. For example, we say that the disciple is so surrendered that he will not eat. He will go out and collect alms every day. And he will not eat unless the spiritual master tells him to eat. Now then you go out after class and say, Prabhu, let's go for breakfast. No, the old Mr. Maharaj hasn't told me to eat breakfast yet. He hasn't called. He hasn't sent out an email. Yeah, so now there's a standing instruction. Take your prasadam. So it's not that we just shut off our brain and then become dysfunctional. We should use our brain, intelligence to act within the scope, within the boundary of the instruction of the spiritual master. Sometimes we can test it. We can test the boundaries of the instruction. And if we have at all any doubts, we ask. It's simple as that. If we are not sure and we have doubts, we just ask. Guru Maharaj, you told me to do this. Now this is what I think of doing. Da 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 da. What do you think? And say, great idea. Do it. And you can do it with enthusiasm. Or you may say, this is a lousy idea. Mental speculation. Pom pom pom. And they say, oh, okay. Now we know. I have extended my boundaries. So that obedient attitude has to stay with us throughout our spiritual life. Not that at one point in spiritual life we become so independent of our spiritual master. We may be able to act independently, but we are never independent of the instruction or of the spiritual master. That's the difference. So it can never be stressed enough obeying the spiritual master. And Prabhupada said there are three kinds of servants. First class, second class, third class. Sometimes also called the tenth class. Third class means
The spiritual master said, do this, do this, do this. And the disciple will do that, do that, do that. He will not follow what she's been told to do. Sometimes you know, every time the spiritual master comes to town, they have darshan. Right? And sometimes in this darshan, every darshan, disciple will be asking the same question. Very humble is something. Guru Maharaj, what do you want me to do? What service do you want me to do? Didn't I tell you the last time? Say yes, you told me the last time, but what do you want me to do now? Every darshan is the same question. What do you want to do? Basically he's wanting to ask, let me do something else. Anything but what you want me to do. So that is not the basis for approaching spiritual master. It's mentioned here. Trying to squeeze some sense gratification. One should never try to engage the spiritual master in one's personal service with the mentality of lording it over the spiritual master and attaining to him some material gain. Manipulating. And after a while, the spiritual master said, this disciple is not surrendered. And he will say, it's alright, you just do whatever you want, it's fine. And the spiritual disciple will come up. See? Stand by my guru. I can do whatever I want. He authorized that I can do whatever I want. And you go around showing everyone. Maybe a recorded message. You don't believe me? I recorded it. Bother find out. I can do whatever I want. Yes, you can do whatever you want, but you may not get what you want. You cannot get Krishna. So sometimes, unfortunately, the spiritual master's ability in helping the disciple advance in Krishna consciousness become hampered by the lack of surrender of the disciple. You can only take someone, a horse, to the water, but you cannot force the horse to drink. And sometimes the spiritual master is very merciful, he drags the disciple along. But my Prabhupada used the word dog stubborn. The disciple is dog stubborn. It crawls, all 4 foot on the ground, put on the brake, ABS brake. And the God says, the drag is long. So that's unfortunate. And this is all based on a very intimate relationship, disciple and spiritual master. Depending on the disciple, how much surrender he is, that's how fast the spiritual master can pull the disciple back from back to God. And if the disciple is actually very surrendered, have the strength and surrender, then the spiritual master can cut in and remove the anathas that are blocking the way and put them on the fast track. And just like in the school, at certain year, you have this fast track. Right? What year is that? When they have this fast track. You jump 1 year. You're doing double year. Or sometimes in university you do a double degree. Right? You can do that. But it requires that the student is very surrendered and very disciplined and have the capacity to do that. And then some students who are not so dedicated, they stretch their 2 or 3 years course into 5 years and 10 years. You can also do that. In the university, they allow you to do that. It's not like a school anymore. You want to take one subject a year? Yeah, you can take one subject a year, and then you can take a pause, 1 year pause, and then you continue one subject. So in spiritual life, it depends on how much eager you want to surrender Krishna and develop a Krishna consciousness. The spiritual master, seeing that, will give us according to how our capacity. So I am following in the footsteps of great Acharya under the direction of the spiritual master. In other words, also, even when we reading books from previous Acharyas, we should do it with the based on the teachings that Srila Prabhupada is giving. We should try to follow in the footsteps of previous Acharya under the direction of our spiritual master, under the direction of Srila Prabhupada, who is the Shiksha Guru for all devotees in ISKCON. Should never jump over the spiritual master. So what is the falling in the footsteps of previous Acharya? What does it mean? That is, we can find out in the songs of the previous Acharya, in the books like Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Instruction, the writings of Sanatana Goswami, writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In fact, Srila Prabhupada has given us the synopsis of all these teachings in his books. And even also here, in the 11th, 12th chapter, there are so many quotations from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Rupa Goswami, Sridhar Swami. So all these synopsis are there. You don't even have to read all this. It's all there in the purport. And basically, we are in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Following the footsteps of previous Acharya means to preach this Krishna conscious movement. As simple as that. Preaching Krishna conscious. And only one who is empowered can preach Krishna conscious. Krishna Shakti Vidadahi Tara Pravatana. So we can also see one who is preaching very potently Krishna consciousness, he's an empowered devotee. We can see how one is empowered by see how the result of one's preaching, and he's empowered. And if you want to be empowered, or if you want to preach successfully, then we also have to become empowered. And to become empowered means you have to be linked up to the powerhouse. The more we are linked up to the powerhouse, the more we become empowered. So if we learn this process of devotional service, then we become like we become a perfect representative of our spiritual master, a perfect representative of the Guru Parampara. And that is what Krishna consciousness is about. To become a perfect representative of the Guru Parampara system, or leading all the way back to Krishna. So, by this process, attaining Krishna becomes very feasible. Otherwise, how does one actually even begin to achieve Krishna consciousness? Yogis in the past have performed austerities for thousands and thousands of years. So it's not a difficult it's not an easy process. But we can make it very easy just by following this recommendation in the Shastra of surrendering to the spiritual master. And it will be handed to us on the plate. We get a recommendation. You want to go and see Kevin Rudd? You think it's so easy? Surrounded by bodyguards and secretaries and assistants. As Prabhupada said, you want to see the Prime Minister or President of the country, you have to go to his secretary. And if his secretary is favorable towards you, he can put you in the appointment book and give you a recommendation, an introduction. Even in the material world, they talk about it's not how much you know, it's who you know. Isn't it? To get ahead in the business world, or even in a job, when you're looking for a job, when you put it in a job application, thousands of others also apply for the same job.
But if you get a recommendation, you're ahead of the pack. So you want to be recognized by the spiritual master by our surrender, dedication, the love and devotion. They will recommend us. They will be proud to recommend us. If the disciple is not qualified, spiritual master will not recommend us, so then we'll go. If the disciple is a rascal, why would they recommend that Krishna and become a rascal then disturb it, and Krishna will think, what are you doing? Introducing all these rascals to me. They're not ready. They still need to learn more lessons in the material world. But if the disciple is surrendered and dedicated, then the spiritual master will be very proud to recommend this disciple and say, my dear Krishna, my dear Radharani, please accept this devotee. He's very, very nice devotee. Very dedicated, very surrendered. And if you read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, you'll get so many inspirations of how to act as a disciple. Just by reading how Prabhupada is so dedicated to the instruction and mission of the spiritual master, the mood in which he is serving the spiritual master, is all in the Lilamrita. Even though at an advanced age, he left India. He left the comfort of Vrindavan, where all sadhus go there to retire. And before that, trying to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, to print books. First canto, part 1, part 2, part 3, back to Garlic magazine, distributing them in the hot sun, all struggling alone without any institutional support. How difficult it is. Even now when you try to go out and distribute books, everything is supplied. But Prabhupada has to write the books, he has to write the magazine, get it printed, has to buy the paper, and bring the paper himself with a rickshaw driver to the printer, and get it printed, and he has to proofread it, check out everything. And then he has enough money only to pay for the portion of it. He prints something, he go out and distribute, come back with more money and print it others. But he was dedicated. That was the order of his spiritual master. He dedicated his life to fulfilling that instruction. And then he said, now I got a chance to go to America to preach. People are not receptive here in India. So let me go to the West. On the journey, we have no idea what to expect. He thought that you cannot get anything to eat there. He brought 2 sacks of grains. He thought, if nothing else to eat, I'll just eat these grains, porridge. That's how determined he was. And why did he go to America on such a great mission? 40 rupees, right? About 40 rupees. In today's currency, it's just about less than $2. $1.50 or whatever. Even with the depreciation of the Australian dollar. And those 40 rupees were no use to him because he cannot change those. He cannot even change it. Probably in America they have never heard of. What is this paper? Is it some paper you use for Monopoly or what? And he came back to India with those 40 rupees. And he has this 2 trunk of books. You have seen any of these Bhagavatam books printed in India? I mean, now in India they are very sophisticated press, but in those days it was not very sophisticated. You practically fall apart the books. Red ink, just kind of losing the color after a while. And was not properly edited, it was not properly proofread, it's filled with editorial mistakes. And he has these books, and based on these books he was preaching. And started a whole worldwide movement. Struggling alone in India for 1 year, he had to
hook up with a Mayavadi. Can you imagine that for a Vaishnava has to use the facility of Mayavadi? A proper tolerated that. As long as giving opportunity to preach. He was not allowed to preach. He was only allowed to do kirtan. And every now and then he'll go back to the senior steamship company, checking the timetable. When is the next boat going back to India? And then he thought, no, let me try a little more. Then let me try a little more to fulfill the order of my Guru Maharaj. And he kept trying. And he kept trying and not giving up. Why? Because he accepted the order of his spiritual master as his life and soul. It's more important than his life and soul. So at great risk to his life, at great risk to his health, he just kept trying and trying to carry out the order of his spiritual master. And then all success came. He said, my Guru Maharaj is so kind. He has sent to me all these boys and girls to help me in my mission. He said, all you boys and girls are sent by my Guru Maharaj. He didn't take credit that by my preaching I'm making all these devotees. He said, no, my Guru Maharaj sent all of them to help me. So that was how dedicated the Prabhupada was to his Guru Maharaj, to the instruction of his Guru Maharaj, to his order. He never forgot. He didn't meet Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta many times. He was not counted as one of the inner devotees, inner circle of devotees. He was a grihastha doing businesses. Even though some of the disciples said, well, he should be a president here, president there. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, no, just leave him where he is. In due course of time, he'll do the needful. So that's why when they start fighting in the two camps, Prabhupada was involved. They spend all their resources and energy just trying to fight for control over the map. The Prabhupada just went on printing his magazine, printing his books, preparing himself. So that is a perfect servant of the perfect master. We may have a perfect master, but we are not perfect servant. It's not going to work too well either. Prabhupada said, they say if a wife is fertile and a man is potent, by the combination they will produce a child. But if any one of them is defective, no children will be born. So the spiritual master has to be bona fide, but the disciple has to be bona fide as well. The spiritual master fulfill their part of the bargain, and we as disciples, we fulfill our part of the bargain. Then the result will be Krishna consciousness. Also, there are three. Third class, they never follow. Second class, they do. But the spiritual master say, they do. They are good followers. But the first class is they do before the spiritual master even asks. I remember a long time ago when we first heard about this, everyone was trying to be a first class disciple and start speculating what to do. And it became a big disturbance. Then the next class has to come again to explain that point. We first have to become second class. Train up to be good follower. And by regularly over a period of time of following the instruction of the spiritual master and serving the spiritual master according to his direction, then we can become first class. Then we know. Yeah? After a period of time there's a pattern. What he wants and what he don't want. After a spiritual master, although he's a principal but he's also a person. Then we start to act as a first class by doing things that before he can ask. For example, if the spiritual master is leading a kirtan, and we have seen over a period of time that he is leading a long kirtan, he would like to have a cup. He would like some water. Right? So, if he did it a few times, he asked for it a few times, And then you realize, you say, you have it ready before you ask next time. So you ask. So that's first class. Before you can ask. Because you're meditating on the service. Meditating on how to facilitate the service to the spiritual master in such a way that everything goes very smoothly. There was a servant of Sri Prabhupada. He was with Prabhupada for a while, and he was meditating on the service so much that when Prabhupada comes out from the bath, after he takes a bath, he comes out. The dhoti is folded in such a way that when Prabhupada just lifts it up, he just folds up. And then he can just put it on. And the tilak is already prepared nicely, just the right. And then Prabhupada just use it, and then the mirror is just right there. And just put it on. As he steps out of the door to go for his morning walk, the shoes are put in the way that he just walk into it without breaking a step. And then as he walks into the shoes, the cane is on, goes in his hand. Now that's meditation. Meditation service, that's first class. Before you ask, you go, where my shoes? Where's my cane? Don't have to ask. And then the bead bag just glide, garland just glide into his, around his neck. That's what the disciple should be meditating in terms of personal service, also in terms of the mission of the spiritual master. So try to meditate on the mood of a spiritual master and assist in carrying out that mood of spiritual master. And in our Eastern movement, it's really simple. Prabhupada's mood is preaching Krishna consciousness, and all his followers are preachers of Krishna consciousness movement. Now, different spiritual master may have a slightly different inclination, different preaching field. So the disciple naturally is gravitate towards that. Some are more into book production, some are more into book distribution, some may be doing prasadam distribution, college preaching, farm community, different, so many different kinds of preaching is going on. And we often see the disciples generally gravitate towards that, those fields that the spiritual master is inclined towards. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Comments? Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.